Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
May I have your attention please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan. San Diego's own, Gwynn and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
And Tony, since you're our resident swinger.
I'm not a swinger.
Did you just say that he was our resident swinger?
Could you fix that, please?
And Chris Ello.
Some Italian people would say that's not really even Italian food.
I was just about to say.
Because real Italian pizza is just a thin slice.
Yes.
I just go crazy for a deep dish pizza.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Home runs on the season for Hoffman. Two more than he had a year ago. 1-0 pitch. Grounded to the right side. It'll be Zobris fielding it. Going to second for one, but it's wide and it goes into left field. Martini will come in and score. Machado is rounding third. He'll be held. And Hosmer ends up at second base. Boy, Manny really wanted to try and come in and score on that.
And there you have the Padres offense last night. A throwing error by Ben Zobrist. Chicago Cubs pound the Padres 10-2 to kick off that four-game series. We are back on a Tuesday. Welcome to Gwynn and Chris, everybody. Chris Ello, along with Tony Gwynn Jr. And for the next 3 hours, talking sports with you from our Entercom Empire Studios, getting set for Padre baseball. We will get into NFL week number one, which is now completely in the books. And the Hard Knock Raiders, the Hard Knock Raiders looked pretty good last night, Tony.
They did. They did.
Not bad.
Derek Carr looked terrific last night.
Not bad. And the fans were in mid-season form in Oakland. Bleep AB is what they continued to chant the entire night.
As they should have been.
You're probably right.
If that was on the Chargers and it went down that way, considering I'm a Chargers fan, I would have been saying the same thing.
Yelling the same thing, sure. So we'll talk plenty of football. Brent Sobleski, our good NFL guy from Bleacher Report, is going to be on the show today. AJ Cassavell, MLB.com, a little bit later on. But I'm going to start with this Padre-Cub game last night. And you and I were watching the game up in the press box last night. You sit at a little higher level than I do. I know somebody and have better seats than you, or there's something I don't know about that row up top where you are. Maybe is there free food delivery where you sit up there?
No.
Oh, you just choose to sit back a couple of rows?
It's assigned seating. I sit where I'm assigned.
Assigned seating? Oh, really? I can't believe I'm assigned the front row.
You get the front row,
I have to believe there was a mistake in the Padre PR department somewhere. But no, we were sitting watching the game, and this Nico Horner kid from Stanford, I honestly looked all through the game notes and everywhere. I couldn't find how old he is. Is he, what, 20 years old? The picture on the scoreboard made him look like he was about 12.
Right.
But anyway, it's his first major league game, and all he does is, you know, he singles in his first at bat. He races home on a wild pitch following his second at bat, hits a two-run triple in his third at bat, hits a two-run single in his fourth at bat. In the middle of all of that, he makes a Fernando Tatis Jr. style 360 spinning play behind second base and throws out a runner early in the ballgame on defense. And Tony and I are looking at each other, and I'm like, this is unbelievable. These kids come up to these teams, their first game, and they look like they've been in the big leagues for years. And then you told me, or you and Mike Pomerantz are actually telling me a little bit more about Nico Horner, because I didn't know a whole lot about him, that he's not even like their AAA shortstop.
No.
I mean, they dug even deeper to find him.
They had to. They all, their two biggest shortstop, Baez and Russell, are hurt.
Right, they're out.
So then they dipped the AAA. Guess he's hurt too. Something I think is quad. His name is Dixon Machado.
Okay.
And so they had no other choice but to go one more level down.
And the AA season's over.
So
this kid had already packed his bags and was on his way home.
He was preparing to go to the Arizona Fall League. And, you know, he gets the call. And they tell you when you're on the – and he's not even on the 40-man roster. He just got drafted last year. So they had to move him to the 40-man roster in order to get him up here.
That's unreal. That's just unreal. And the thing that frustrates me, and I know we're not supposed to overreact to one game, but here I am. I'm going to overreact to one game. Why doesn't a Padre ever do that? Why don't the Padres ever bring some kid out of nowhere that we've never heard of, that they've never heard of, that nobody knows who they are, and come in and look that ready to play a Major League Baseball game? Every time the Padres bring up some young players, we get the old, well, give them a little time to get settled in and get used to the big league speed and pitching and the whole thing. Why do these other teams have young prospects that just seem so ready to play? And it's not just Nico Horner. I mean, it's all over baseball this year. And the more I keep hearing about the hot lava talent and the Padres' number one farm system, the more I'd like to see some of these kind of performances come from young Padre players. And yeah, that's just a frustration that I have, I guess.
I see your point. I won't conflate Nico's night one night with some of the other prospects across baseball that have had, like, good years, and they've done it from the very beginning. That I agree with. And I don't have a good answer for you. I don't know why it is that the Padres prospects, by the way, number one in all of baseball,
that's it,
have come up, and they have taken a little bit more time to get
acclimated.
With the exception of Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yes.
And Chris Paddock, everybody else has had to, you know, kind of work their way into it, and you see gradual improvement. And it does seem like, and maybe it's because we only get to see those guys for a 3-game set when they come in, and we don't tend to follow them
right
afterwards. That it
That's
feels
right
like that. But I mean, there is some that makes some sense to what you're saying, though.
But I also want to point this out because I just thought of this. I remember last year, Francisco Mejia got dealt over here from the Cleveland Indians and came up from the minor leagues, and his first game hit a home run in his first two at-bats. So it did happen once for the Padres.
Right.
So I do want to be clear about that. But so I haven't completely forgotten about that. I don't want to make a one-sided argument here. But the point being, the Padres are supposed to be the ones with the number one farm system in baseball.
So they should have the guys that
come
up.
So they should have all the guys that come up and are ready to play. And it just seems like, I mean, you look at this, Aquino in Cincinnati, who just hit the, 12 home runs in his first 15 games.
How about the kid in Houston?
Oh, my goodness. Yordan Alvarez?
Alvarez, yeah.
It's unbelievable. He's got 24 home runs and 70 RBIs. He just came up to the big leagues about a month ago. I mean, it's, you know, not a month ago, but it's just phenomenal, and it's happened throughout baseball this year. It's been a great rookie season for a lot of kids, and the Padres have had their moments with Fernando Tatis Jr., but my point is, I expected the Padres to have a little advantage over everybody else because they're supposed to be the team with the number one farm system. And you look at the Dodgers, and Will Smith comes up, and he immediately starts hitting game-winning home runs. And Matt Beatty comes up and starts hitting game-winning home runs. And whoever else the Dodgers bring up pitches 7 shutout innings.
And in Beatty's case, he's not even playing every day. He gets a spot start, and he comes in and just...
And then when he gets a start, 2-for-3 with 2 doubles and 4 RBIs. Anyway, so Nico Horner, you know, look, it was a feel-good story last night. I know that there were a lot of Cub fans there at the game. I know there were a lot of Cub fans there at the game. My goodness.
That might have been the worst it's been all season.
As far as visiting crowd,
visiting noise.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I don't think it was first or second inning, one of the Padre players grounded out to short, and I looked down to my book to write in 6-3 as the throw was coming over to first base, and I heard this roar. And I thought, oh, my God, Rizzo must have dropped the ball. Must have been an error. No, he got it. The fans were just cheering. There were that many Cub fans roaring their approval on a simple ground ball to shortstop.
You would have thought Nico was a Hall of Fame, like a guy who's getting ready to retire and is on his way to the Hall of Fame.
I'm almost sure he came out for a curtain call after the game. I'm almost sure he did.
They stayed in those first, like, 7 rows.
The Cub fans stayed and kept chanting his name and waiting for him. I was in the back getting some notes and doing some things to get ready for the postgame show, but I heard this huge cheer come up out of nowhere. So all I can think of is that he must have popped his head out of the dugout just to wave at everybody. So good for him. I mean, congratulations to him. It's a great story. I love to see kids come up and do well. I would just like to see more of them come up and do well, you know, for the Padres. Because if we had the number 26 farm system in baseball, wouldn't bother me at all.
Right.
But the fact that everybody keeps telling us we're number one by a wide margin, then this is why I get frustrated when I see other teams have kids.
Any particular reason why you picked 26?
26? No, it just seemed like a really low number, and I didn't want to go with last. I'm not quite sure why 26 was what I came up with. But anyway, so Padres fall last night, trying to play the role of spoiler. Not playing it too well last evening. We'll see what happens tonight because the pressure's still on these Cubs to try and get into the postseason. They took care of business last night in Game 1, and it'll be Ronald Bolaños, one of these young guys for the Padres, who actually did pitch pretty well in his first outing. We'll see how he fares in outing number 2 tonight against Jose Quintana. So we are underway, starting with some baseball, but we haven't forgotten about Monday Night Football last night. And I'm telling you what, Tony, if I see another NFL team play that prevent defense and prevent themselves from winning a game, I don't know what I'm going to do because I know I'm going to see
you
it again.
Stop watching?
No, because I know I'm going to see it again. It's unbelievable how many times these teams do it, and the Saints and Texans both did it.
Yeah.
They both did it last night.
Here's the thing is you definitely can't do it against the elite quarterbacks, and that was proven in that game.
Oh, my goodness.
They will pick you apart and it make you look bad in most cases.
And the Texans' defensive coordinator is Romeo Crennel. This is not a rookie guy. This is a guy who used to be the defensive coordinator for Belichick, winning Super Bowls, head coach, you know, the whole thing.
And it's not like he hasn't seen Drew Brees' act before.
Are you kidding me? I was just absolutely floored at what I saw last night in that game. And then somewhat surprised at the Raiders' performance as well. So we'll talk some football when we come back. Wrap up week number 1 of the NFL. Your phone calls if you'd like to chime in on that Padre thing. Are you as frustrated as I am about the fact that we have all the hot lava talent, except the other teams seem to have all the hot lava talent? Give us a call, 833-288-0973. Underway for a Wednesday until 6. Going to be a good one, folks. Sit back, relax, enjoy. It's Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spot and Holder down. The kick is up. Will Lutz with the game winner! Saints win it! 30-28!
Nailed that kick from 58 out to give the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees and company their first victory of the year. The Houston Texans take a tough one, man. They did everything they could offensively to win that game. They did everything.
If I was Deshaun Watson, I would have run out and rushed the quarterback myself on that final drive. It was just it was absolutely unforgivable what Houston did defensively. You know, on the last play right before the field goal, they only rushed 2 guys. Why don't you just tell Drew Brees, here's 17 yards that you need to set up your field goal? And that's basically what they did. I mean, we've seen Drew Brees do it 100 times.
A lot.
You've got to put a little pressure on him. These coaches are scared, Tony. That's what it comes down to. They're scared that if they rush the quarterback and only drop 5 or 6 guys into coverage and somebody messes up a coverage and somebody gets behind you, then they're all going to the media is going to blame you as a coach for losing the game. Whereas in this case, you did what you were supposed to do. You played the prevent defense. Kept everything in front, and there's just nothing you can do about a guy making a 58-yard field goal. Well, yes, there is.
Don't let him get that close.
You can play defense and don't let him get that close. There absolutely is, and I'm totally blaming the Houston coaching staff for blowing that game.
We're going to get to some more of that Monday night, the doubleheader. Oakland also looked good against a Denver team that didn't look very good. So we'll get into more of that. We got a phone call on the line. Mark in Chula Vista wants to talk Padres young talent. Mark, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. Yeah, I've been a San Diego fan all my life. I was born and raised here. And, you know, one of my biggest frustrations with our team in the late years or later years or recent years, I should say, is that I don't think we have a good culture here in terms of when we bring people up from our farm system, even when we bring free agents over, most free agents that we sign on don't do all that well as, you know, as we expect or hope for. And the same could be said with the guys coming up from our farm systems. And I think it all starts with management. I really do. I think our management, I'm not a big fan of Andy Green. I like him as a person. I've never met him, but I think he's a pretty good guy. But we have young guys. You need somebody that has experience to be able to mature these guys to their potential. And I don't think we have that system in play. And you know, one of my biggest pet peeves is with Manny Machado. I think he's a great athlete and everything, but he doesn't have the fire in there, you know, like Tatis does. Tatis is the leader, and when Tatis is in the lineup, we do extremely well, but there's a lot of emotion. But when he's out, that emotion is gone a little bit. And I think that, you know, when they signed Manny Machado, I would have rather had Harper, because Harper has a little bit of attitude and fire, and I think that's contagious and infectious, and we just don't have that, and it starts with management and the decisions that they make.
Mark, good phone call. Let's touch on a couple of things. First of all, Manny Machado. When the season began and the team was playing well, I think everybody loved the fact that Manny Machado came to San Diego and was a terrific guy. Remember, he took the entire team out to dinner when they were down in Miami. Mm-hmm. Remember the way he took Tatis under his wing. Mm-hmm. He got a lot of the credit for all of that. Mm-hmm. And Manny Machado was looked upon as the perfect signing the first half of the season. However, now that the team is not winning...
It's funny how that happens,
it
right?
is pretty funny how that happens. Now, all of a sudden, Manny Machado's a malingerer and a guy that doesn't hustle and all of that. So I don't really totally agree with Mark's take on that particular point. But somebody mentioned this to me last night. Let me ask you about it. When rookies on other teams come up to their ball clubs, they're brought up in a situation without a spotlight on them. It's more like, hey, just come up, do your job. We'll let the veterans take care of business. Padre young players, when they come up, I will say this. It does seem like there is a little bit of a spotlight on a guy like Urias before he ever even gets here.
100%.
Tatis, same thing, and he's been able to handle it. Mejia, hey, we just traded an all-star closer. So when you get up, there's already a spotlight on you, and I wonder if that makes it tougher for our kids to perform.
You can't say that it doesn't make it tougher, right? I mean, you ideally what you want, right, is you want to bring a young guy up and have him just blend, right? You want him just to kind of be in the background, do his thing, and let him gradually progress to the point where he can handle the stardom and all of that. That's a very good point. I hadn't thought about it in those terms. Most young guys, and listen, some of that has to do with where the Padres have been over the last 10, 15 years, right? Mm-hmm. Is that they've been pretty bad. So with that being said, of course the young guys, and not to mention that's how this was built, right? As far as the last 4 years, it was you guys as fans. When I say you guys, I mean fans. You guys endure this 4 year span where we're rebuilding 2020. Hopefully we'll be in a spot where we can start to compete for a playoff spot. Now, when you set that timeline and you don't have any cornerstones at that point, guess what's going to happen? You're going to go out and they sign some cornerstones. They have two cornerstones in Eric Hosmer and Manny Machado. So when you don't have the rest of that comes through, though, of course, every young guy that comes up, he's going to be looked at as some type of savior for the organization, and it may not be fair, but it is a reality to the situation. And we don't have any proof that says, yes, this is why our guys aren't, you know, playing up to expectation. But I'm sure it has a little bit of a factor in there, right? Because they can't just blend in. A guy like Fernando Tatis can't just come up here and just be in the background. A guy like Luis Urias can't just come up, fight through his struggles and kind of work his way. No, he's expected
How about
to come
Paddock? He was the spotlight starter almost from day one.
Yeah, yeah.
His very first major league start was going to be scrutinized. Whereas this kid last night for the Cubs, I bet you 90% of Cub fans didn't even know who he was.
Yeah.
Until, he got a couple of hits, and then they turned to each other and said, well, where'd this guy come from?
I will say this, that all of the guys that come up, at least to my knowledge, have all done what they were supposed to do at the lower levels, right? It's not like the Padres are bringing up guys that are hitting 250 and triple. They're bringing up guys that are, winning like MVPs of the league, winning batting titles of the league. So they're performing there. The disconnect seems to be what's happening once they get in the lights.
Yeah.
Because that's always what's going to be the determining factor, how you perform when the lights are at their brightest.
And they put the extra deck on the top of the stadium, as they like to say.
Exactly.
Because in AAA, they don't have that upper deck, but once you get to the big leagues, they do. And anyway, it's just a thought somebody brought up. I thought I'd ask you about it, and maybe it makes some sense to try and explain why it seems like the Padres' younger players struggle.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No doubt about it. Mark, terrific phone call, brother. Thanks for calling in. We didn't get to any fall in that segment, but we'll get to it on the other side of this break. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Gwynn and Chris, we got a lot of show ahead of us. 97.3, The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt your meeting over there. Scraby conducts meetings.
Conducts meetings. He does everything but be on the show a lot of times.
I can't believe you guys are doing this to me right now.
He conducts business. He conducts meetings. He makes personal phone calls. He's on.
We could literally be talking about a subject, and he'll bring it up like it's brand new. Like within 5 seconds of you just saying it.
Scraby, that's true.
You guys know what I'm doing over here.
You did it yesterday.
He does it at least once a week.
At least once a week where Tony says something like, hey, Noah Syndergaard is upset because he doesn't like catching Wilson Ramos catching him because he has bad ERA with him. And then 2 seconds later, Scraby will go, hey, Tony, what do you think about Noah Syndergaard and catching Wilson Ramos? And you're like, where have you been?
We literally just said that.
Where have you been?
You know, I take care of stuff that you guys don't need to deal with, and then I tune back into the show, and I'm like, oh, I have a great point to make, and it's the same point you guys already made.
Yeah, that happens often. All right, well, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt then. How's that?
Thank you.
No, you're not welcome.
I'm not welcome.
3:36 is the time. It's Gwynn and Chris. Hey, we got another round of Chris versus the Fans coming up. Your chance to win prizes, playing some trivia. Give us a call. Get lined up right now, 833-288-0973. I want to thank our great friend Manny. Dropped me off a very nice Chicago Bulls hat here.
The Bulls.
That is a sweet hat.
And it says on there, congrats on winning Chris versus the Fan. I think what he's trying to do, Scraby, is tell you that we should have a trinket to give out to people who win Chris versus the Fan, but we still don't after all of this time.
You know what? I talked to Manny last week. I was stapling something.
What are you going to make Manny buy all the trinkets?
I said, Manny, we are working on the trinkets. You will be the first person to get the trinket.
Well, he may not be. He's got to win. You got to win the contest.
Well,
he has the thing. I know he's won it before, but...
So he's going to get one.
Oh, okay, so you'd give him an honorary...
honorary trinket.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He did say on his way out, though, he's like, it's all right, my trinket is beating Chris.
Well, that's what most people's number one...
Trinket?
trinket is, but I think they should have something to commemorate it by. So that's why we will continue to work on that. You work on getting your phone calls in, 833-288-0973. Gwynn and Chris, and week one of the NFL is in the books now. Brent Sobleski, Bleacher Report, will talk some NFL with us in the 4 o'clock hour. But we're talking about the Monday night games last night, and I think we've already kind of gone over the
the prevent defenses that the Texans and the Saints both play, because the Saints would have been the team I've been yelling at today had it not been for the Texans one-upping them.
In the very next possession.
In the very next possession, because how long did it take
Two plays
to go 75 50, yards.
Yeah, I think it was like 50 and then 50 like a 40. 30. Yeah.
Yeah, and the Saints safety was beside himself on the sidelines. Like, how did I let that happen? Well, the reason you let it happen is because you're playing a defense that you don't play the entire game until there's 1 minute left and you've got no pass rush helping you out.
No.
That's why it happens. So, but let's look at the other game, the Raiders. I mean, after a hard knocks and taking some hard knocks with the whole Antonio Brown thing. I tell you one thing. I just am I'm a fan of John Gruden. I already was before the show.
Me too.
But I got to believe, and I would think you'll agree with me here, that John Gruden used that whole Antonio Brown thing once it was all said and done to galvanize his troops. And they came out and played like a unit last night. Vontaze Burfict looked like he was about ready to tear some heads off. The one kid, Abrams, the safety, knocked his own guy out, unfortunately, and I hope that cornerback is okay with the head injury. But the Raiders played a tough game last night, and Denver just couldn't stand up to it.
Listen, first of all, the kid, their first-round pick, the one that John Gruden was scolding last night, during Hard Knocks, about hitting the players. He was finally in yesterday, and he actually hurt one of his own guys yesterday.
Yeah.
Abrams, yes.
That's what I mean, yeah.
I just thought that defensively, they just looked like a different team. Last year, they could get no pass rush at all, like zero, which made their DBs pretty much, they were exposed.
No,
right. So that was the one thing that stood out. And to me, it was going to be either or, right? It was going to be either they came out on fire or they came out and were ready to lay an egg from the very beginning. Clearly, that team was motivated because I fully expected them to have a lackluster game last night. After all the stuff they've been through, I wouldn't have been surprised if they would have literally laid an egg and put up 0 points yesterday. But to their credit, they came out and played. Josh Jacobs looked good, the running
really
back.
Good.
I thought Derek Carr looked excellent. Finally starting to understand the offense. Getting rid of the football, not holding on to it too long.
As usual, the Chargers look like they've made another mistake by letting Tyrell Williams
go.
Get away for nothing. I mean, that guy looked like a number one receiver last night for the Raiders.
He continually got – and by the way, the Denver cornerbacks are really good. Like, these aren't like your run-of-the-mill cornerbacks. They play good D, and Tyrell Williams found himself behind most of those guys all night.
And if you watched Hard Knocks, you saw the story about the tight end, the kid who drugged his way out of football with Baltimore and has worked his way back. What did he catch, seven, eight passes last night?
Yep.
So he had a good game. I wanted to read this tweet because I just mentioned the cornerback, Gerrion Conley, was the kid's name, who got hit by his teammate, Jonathan Abrams, last night and was taken off the field on a stretcher. And it's always scary when they start taping guys down to that stretcher. Gerrion Conley tweeted out today, "Thank you to everybody who had me in their thoughts and prayers. I hurt my neck, nothing severe. It was just protocol to get me on a stretcher and get imaging to make sure everything was okay, make sure it didn't go down my spine or anything. I'm good to go. God bless you all." So that is a good result on that because it was pretty scary when he went off the field. But on the other side, I could care less if Denver's any good, but John Elway walked into the perfect situation, right? He took over as like president of the team when Peyton Manning was the quarterback. And all of a sudden, John Elway was sitting up there in that executive's box and getting Super Bowl appearances and winning another ring and looking like he was a brilliant executive. The minute Peyton Manning left, now John Elway doesn't look like he could ever find himself a quarterback. I don't know what he's thinking with Joe Flacco, but Joe Flacco looks, to borrow a phrase from my partner Tony Gwynn Jr., to pick Joe Flacco as your quarterback, that's a pretty rich move, old Joe. Listen, he looked old.
He did look old. And I'll give John Elway a little more credit. He was the one who orchestrated the move to bring Peyton Manning from the Colts to Denver. But you are bringing perhaps one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time to your team. So, yes, it's going to be pretty turkey once he lands in there. You're just going to hand the offense over to him, let him do what Peyton Manning does. He finally got a defense that could get to the other team's quarterback, so it was all good. He leaves, And it has been pretty much a whirlwind of quarterbacks that's come through here at Denver. And they haven't worked out. I know we talk about not jumping to conclusions after 1 week, but Mr. Flacco didn't look very good.
No, he was awful. And I mean, you talked about the Raider pass rush. I think it was a combination of their pass rush, but his inability to just elude anybody. You know, and he looked like he was just kind of – he looked like one of those – he looked like me, basically, in a Wednesday night softball game trying to get after a ground ball that's about 3 feet away from me. I just like
– the body's just having a hard time.
The body says, I'm not getting it, and you wave at it as it rolls into right field. That's how Joe Flacco looked trying to get away from that rush last night. But good win for the Raiders. Nicely done for them. And, you know, the Saints, they get up off the deck there at the end and win that game too. So we're ahead to week two now. And I'm looking at the board for the week two matchups to see if anything really exciting jumps out. And
Kansas, the L.A. Rams, New Orleans jumps out.
Rams, New Orleans definitely jumps out. A rematch of the NFC Championship game. This time it'll be in L.A.
I think Pittsburgh, Seattle will be a good one, too.
Well, that's the question I have about Pittsburgh.
You don't know if Pittsburgh's any good, huh?
Right. I'm not sure yet. It'd be either New England is just dominant they're going to just hand them the trophy, or Pittsburgh really has lost too many good players.
I can't stand New England, I am smart enough to realize that they make a lot of teams look like they are trash.
Like garbage. They make them look
and then
garbage.
They play somebody else and you realize, oh, okay, so the Patriots are just that good.
Yeah, and Odd Thomas is a little concerned because the Patriots have lost their last two trips into Miami, and they're going down there this week.
Good, let Odd Thomas worry. You don't worry about any other games.
Are you kidding me? You're going to worry about that game?
Look at him out there.
Over there biting his nails right
now. Not much to worry about in that game. The Thursday night game.
You know what the doozy game is going to be, though?
What's your doozy?
Buffalo, New York Giants.
Why?
It's going to be a terrible game.
Oh, okay.
I didn't point that out.
I don't know now. Give Buffalo a little credit. I like Josh Allen. I keep sticking up for Josh Allen. I might be the only guy west of Buffalo who's doing it. But
you are.
He brought him back from 16-0 down the other day. He runs around back there, makes some plays, and throws, gets a couple of throws. And he makes some bad plays, too. There's no question about it. He had a pick six and took a safety, or put his team in position to take a safety. But look, he brought him back to a nice victory, although it was over the Jets. The Giants are very bad. You know, it's interesting at this point in the season. I feel bad for Jacksonville. I do. I wanted to see what Nick Foles was going to be able to do there. And, you know, to throw a touchdown pass and then be lost basically for the season, that changes everything for Jacksonville. And
they're right back to where they might even be in a worse spot than they were
right,
last year.
Because now their quarterback, I mean, Blake Bortles was Blake Bortles, but he was still at least a guy that had been to the AFC Championship game the year before. Now they're down to Minshew, who's a Washington State rookie.
Bless you.
You're a Gesundheit. Thank you. That's very funny by you, Scraby.
That was actually good timing at all right there, Scraby.
I've been waiting for this moment.
Why don't you record that? Because it's a rarity there that Scraby hit one on the head there.
Yeah, good for you, Scraby.
Thanks.
We haven't talked enough about Scraby's lousy-looking 49ers. They play Cincinnati.
They won the game!
Were you happy with how they looked?
31-17.
Were you happy with how they looked?
He said a win is a win is a win.
Yesterday in our countdown, it was the overreactions. My number one was 49ers defense is good because it was Jameis Winston throwing pick sixes that made him look good.
Well, it was Jameis Winston's offensive line that was forcing those picks. They didn't even put a hand. You know, you see the offensive lineman getting do that little.
Yeah, the little
They weren't doing none of that. The guys were just going around.
Do you guys think that his team doesn't like to play with him?
Because when he was on Hard Knocks,
I liked him because I thought he was a leader.
I just think his team sucks.
Not very good.
They're not very good.
It's going to take Bruce Arians a while to get that squared away.
Unfortunately, in football, you have a cap, so you can only make so many moves. Because I'm sure Bruce looks at that offensive line and realizes
that's the problem.
It's been the problem for like the last 5 years.
They got Mike Evans. They've got this kid Godwin, who's pretty good. They've got Ronald Jones running the ball and Peyton Barber. They got some people and some skilled players. They just don't have an OJ Howard as a tight end. They just don't have a line.
Bruce Arians likes to get the ball down the field, and if you can't block long enough, guess what? There's going to be some turnovers.
Well, the one thing I do like about week two, and we'll talk a little bit more about it with Brent Sobleski, is that we get to find out, of all of the things that we're so sure of after week one, how many of them are real and how many of them are mirages. Because that's what you really find out in week two, right? Like, is Pittsburgh bad? Or are they going to come back and play like Pittsburgh in week two? Things like that. You know,
Ben Roethlisberger, you guys already talked about it. He just doesn't look like he wants to be there. He almost retired before the season. I wouldn't be surprised if he was regret.
When did that happen? That was two seasons ago.
Was it two seasons ago?
Yeah. I thought. Do you live in a parallel universe sometimes?
No, I think I thought it was this last offseason.
All he did this offseason was defend how he was a good leader, so he wasn't going to retire.
Well, anyway, he doesn't look like he wants to be there. So,
The New England Patriots make you look like that sometimes. Everybody thought that about like LT too when they were getting punched in the mouth.
God, you had to bring that playoff game up. Somewhere, LaDainian Tomlinson fan club is thrilled with you. All right, NFL Week One in the books. We'll talk more about it. Like I said, Brent Sobleski coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. But right now, a chance for you to call in, win some prizes. What are we giving away today, Scrabe?
We are giving away a pair of tickets to see
Padres and Diamondbacks.
Host the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, looks like I found it faster than you this time. Yeah. Padres and Diamondbacks, Saturday, September 21st, tickets on the line. But more than that, the pride of being able to say you won on Chris versus the Fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, away we go. Chris versus the Fans. And Scraby will tell you how the game works. You should all pretty much have it down by now.
I'll tell them how it works.
Why don't you tell us how it works? I'm looking forward to your interpretation of the rules.
You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets the question right, you are eliminated. If Chris gets it wrong, then you get a chance to move on to the next question.
You stay alive.
Or win. There you go.
Well, we've had all kinds of different winners. We've had people come on and actually answer three straight questions and just run the table. We've had a couple of people win because I've just missed all three questions. And all kinds of different things have happened. Some crazy fun stuff always happens in Chris versus the Fans. So,
all right.
Let's see what happens today.
Let's get to our first contestant, Derek in San Marcos. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. Glad to be with you.
Hey, Derek.
Here we go. First question. Recently fired athletic director Lynn Swann played in the NFL. For what team?
Man. It seems like I know everybody's first question except mine. crap. I guess I'll go Detroit.
Detroit. That is incorrect, Derek.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer, too.
He is a Hall of Famer.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
He
was good, too.
Thanks, man. Derek, for competing. We'll move to our next contestant, Tom in Point Loma. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Thanks for calling in.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. I would have said the day, but I forgot what day it was. Here we go. First
Tom
question.
Reminded you.
What is DeAndre Hopkins' nickname?
Hop.
I like the way you're thinking there.
Me too.
That is incorrect, though, Tom.
Stay there, Tom.
Stay there.
I don't know his nickname. DeAndre Hopkins' nickname. I didn't watch the game last night.
Oh, I was going to say because they said it a lot last night.
Did they?
I figured that's the only way Scraby would know this answer.
Yeah. No, I knew this because of Thomas, actually.
Oh, okay. God, if it was a hop was what I was going to actually guess as well. So DeAndre Hopkins is called Freebird.
Freebird is an excellent guess, but it is also incorrect.
What is
his nickname? Nuke.
Nuke? Oh, I had no
nuclear
idea.
Active, is that what that is?
Nuclear reactive.
He's really good.
He's good.
And
he's
not afraid to suplex you on the field if you intercept
the pass. Oh, did you see that? That was amazing.
And if that ball hits his hand, one of his two hands,
it's caught.
It sticks like
glue. It's
amazing.
Yeah. He's unbelievable. All right, Tom, you're on to the next round. Here we go. Next question. Right. Where did Tiger Woods play college golf?
Stanford.
There's a winner.
Nice work.
Tony had me move that question yesterday.
Yeah, it was a number three, and it definitely didn't belong there.
No, that was too
All right, we move on to question number three for pair tickets. Here we go. Where did Notre Dame head coach Chip Kelly?
Oh, not Chip Kelly. Brian Kelly. Sorry, my bad.
Where did Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly? I'm glad he caught it because I was just getting ready to roast you before you got it out your mouth. Where did Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly coach before he got the Irish job?
Oh, I'll go with, I don't know.
We need an answer, Tom.
Clemson.
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 That is incorrect.
You might still win, Tom. I don't know. Was Brian? No, Brian Kelly was not the guy. Who was the guy? And I love doing this. This is what I do when I don't know the answer. I ask another question, and I go through in my mind as I'm asking the question. Wasn't there a guy who applied for the Notre Dame job and lied on his resume?
That was Georgia Tech way back when.
Yeah, okay. And it's funny that you said Georgia Tech because that was going to be my guess for Brian Kelly. But I don't remember where he coached at all. I can't think of it. Oh, yes, I do. Cincinnati.
Oh, come on! Oh. Sorry, Tom.
Did he get it?
That is correct. You got it right. Cincinnati.
Oh, my God. It popped into my head at the last instant. Sorry, Tom.
All right. Well, we're back up to this. Question number one.
Did he coach against the Aztecs in the Hawaii Bowl a few years ago?
I don't believe so.
No, he was already in Notre Dame.
He was already
at
Notre Dame, yeah. Okay, because the Aztecs crushed them.
All right, Eddie, Oceanside, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Thanks for calling in. Happy Tuesday.
Thank you, Chris, for pulling that one and giving me a chance.
You got it, Eddie. Way to go. Take advantage
of it. All right, Eddie, here we go. First question. What was the first head coaching job Bruce Arians had in the NFL?
Oh, gosh. The only one that comes to mind is the Arizona Cardinals.
Arizona Cardinals is incorrect.
Did he get a cup of coffee with the Colts first?
He did. He took over for Mr. Chuck Pagano when he was sick.
Ah.
He had to step in there.
Yeah.
Sorry, Eddie.
Sorry, Eddie. He was happy with me now.
He's not so happy.
We're going to have to move this. This is the first time in a while we've had to continue the game.
Not
what
that
are you
long.
Talking
it's
about?
Like 3 days ago. Not that long.
Is it what? We're up against the top of the hour? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Oh. Can you guys fill for like 45 seconds?
Yeah, we can fill for 45 seconds. You guys stay on the line because we will continue this game on the other side of this break. Just want to bring this up real quick since you talked about it a little bit earlier in Noah Syndergaard. Mm-hmm. He is now blaming it all on himself. He said, bad splits with Ramos is on me.
But first he said it was on him, right? He said
on
it was
Ramos.
Or he was livid that he didn't like Ramos catching him.
Let me tell you guys something. The East Coast media is ruthless, man, because somebody leaked that. That's not a conversation he went and had with the media. Like, I'm just so irritated that they keep making me throw to Wilson Ramos.
Yeah, he's not giving that up.
He had that conversation with front office folks, possibly even Wilson Ramos himself. And somebody leaked that to make him look bad. So now he's got to come out and say, you know what? It's on me. It's not on him. It's kind of cold-blooded, right?
That is very.
I don't know if I want to sign back there if they're going to keep up these shenanigans.
But those are the shenanigans you got to live with on the East Coast, right?
Indeed.
You played in Philadelphia for 1 year.
I did. I stayed out of the fray.
You stayed. You didn't say a word. You just, one of those, button up your lip and throw away the key.
You come into my locker, you ask me some questions, I'm going to answer. Other than that, you won't hear from me.
That's it. Because you're right. If you say something back there, it will get out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Chris versus the fans continues. Those tickets are on the line when we come back. Stick around. Also going to talk some NFL shortly with Brett Sobleski from Bleacher Report. It's Gwen and Chris until 6 today on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.